You are listening to the weekly podcast of Renovate Life Church of God in MacArthur, Ohio. We pray you enjoy today's message.
Get that glow for a moment, church. Of the goodness of God. Oh, of His love for you. Just delight in Him. Give Him praise and honor and glory this morning. For He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. Give Him glory. Worship Him and praise Him. Oh, Father God, we give You praise this morning. We offer to You our thanks. For You were, You are, You will be, again and again, for the glory. Oh, Jesus, be known among us today, here in this place. As the word is broken and spoken, may Your Holy Spirit touch our hearts so that we will truly know when we leave this place that because He lives, we can face this dark world, the world without hope. We can find peace in Him through it, Father. Lord, we give You the glory and the honor, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. Well, it's a privilege to be here today to break the Word of God with you. I appreciate Pastor James trusting me to be able to faithfully preach the Word and to share Jesus with you. I'm Roger Houck, just in case some of you don't know who I am. Not a stranger to most, but strange nevertheless. Mostly because, I hope, He lives in me and I live in Him. And He gives me the freedom to be who I am and to be what He has called me to be in this dark world, a light. I'm going to begin again today in 2 John chapter 1, because there's just one chapter. 2 John 1, if you got your Bibles, open them. I'm going to ask you to turn them in because I don't need yours. You need them. So don't turn in your Bibles. Keep them. Whether I see the screens, I love that. Or the written word, printed word, I guess I should say. You know. 2 John. The elder to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, for the sake of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we have received commandment to do from the Father. Now I ask you, lady, not as though I were writing to you a new commandment, but the one which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to His commandments. And this is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves that you do not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teachings of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. And if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house, and do not give him a greeting, for the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. Though I have many things to write to you, I do not want to do so with paper and ink. But I hope to come to you and speak face to face so that your joy may be made full. The children of your chosen sister greet you. Amen. Today, I have the privilege of proclaiming the message to those of you who have come to Christ out of dark and evil world in which there is abundance. I'm preaching to Christ followers, to those who have been delivered out of darkness into the kingdom of the light of his Son. And as so, you know, you have family and friends and even enemies who need to know Jesus, who need to know Christ crucified, so that they too can come out of the darkness, darkness of the world in which they have become much too comfortable with, fully accepting the lies of the enemy, and therefore the lies of the enemy of their soul. This morning, this letter that John writes through, I believe, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it's in its brevity, it might be a text, it might be an email that we would send today to a loved one, to someone near, because it's not very long. It's brief, but yet, man, is it succinct and it's full of truth. Truth that we need to see, truth that we need to hear. And you and I need to understand we can't undervalue truth. Can't not undervalue truth, because Jesus is the firm foundation. We just sang that, amen? And he is truth. And knowing him is the key then to knowing truth. And being able to live in that truth for your benefit, and for the benefit of the world in which we've been called to go, sharing Christ and him crucified, exalting him, lifting him up. And so when we think about truth and Jesus and this dark world and the lies of the enemy that are perpetrated continually upon everyone, I mean, God is no respecter of persons, and neither is the devil. He'll take as many as he can. And our prayer is that hell's lost another one. Amen. Even today, that hell would lose another one, whether it's here or one of the churches in our county or state, you know, or our country, or around the world, because the gospel is being proclaimed from early this morning or late last night until late tonight. The gospel is being preached in places just like this. And people like you and me, we are going out into the world to share this truth. And so, as we begin back with the letter, I just want you to know this, that John writes and he uses the word truth 5 times. Love 3 times. Teaching 3 times. When something's repeated more than once, it takes on an importance, does it not? And so when he talks about the truth, there's something we need to understand and grasp. The truth for us, and then therefore secondarily to those around us. Because it's important for us, but it's not always all about us. You know, it's also about Christ and the world that we've been called to as lights, as a light of, you know, into this dark world. And so, what is truth? You might ask. Well, John 17:17, the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 17. tells us what truth is. John 17, 17. This is Jesus praying before he's to be crucified. He's encouraging in that prayer time, hearing the word of God to him, even though he is the word of God. John chapter 17, verse 17. Jesus says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. So what is truth? We got 66 books that contain the truth. The truth that we need to grasp, the truth that we need to know, and the truth that we need to live. As ugly as it sometimes is. You know, because in these 66 books, there's some awful ugly things. God doesn't withhold the ugliness that's happened in his kingdom. You know, and such are some of us. I come to you today and I preach to you as not one who has arrived. For I'm still a sojourner. I'm still growing in Christ. I'm still waiting on him, looking to him, trying to grow in the truth that he has set before me and working that out in relationship with him. But truth, his word is truth. And the good news is, truth is not some esoteric thing that's for the rich or the famous. It's not something that you have to gain degrees. I think I've heard Pastor James talk about that for a time or two. You know, diplomas and degrees don't make you the smartest person. You know, and even according to the world's knowledge, you can still be the smartest person, but not know truth. Amen. No subjective, perhaps. Know some things that are seem to be objective. But if they don't align up with God's word, they're not really truth. Did I dare say that? You know, if they do not line up with God's word, it's not truth, because God's word is truth. And Jesus is the Word of God. And so if you have Jesus and you have the Holy Spirit living in you, you have the truth. You just need to begin to understand it, apply it into our lives, and then let Christ be who he is in us. Back to 2 John. He's commending the church that he's written to. It's strange he uses the word chosen lady. But I think church is feminine in the Greek, so it's not uncommon that it might be feminine that he's talking about here. Although it might be a house church, which is possible. But he says this, verse 1, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also who know the truth, for the sake of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Kind of adds a colon there. This truth, which abides in us and will be with us forever, produces this grace, mercy, and peace. And it will be with us from God the Father, from Jesus Christ, his Son, in truth and love. Starts out in truth and love. We go through all of the other things and comes back to truth and love again. So there's something about truth and love that we need to grasp a hold of and live in this world. Because we all want grace. Amen? We all want to know that it's by grace that we have been saved through faith. And that's not of ourselves. It is, even that is a gift of God. Even the ability to believe is a gift of God. And so we all want grace. We want to be able to not be given what we deserve. We want to be given undeserving things, right? You know, and so we want grace, we want mercy, God's loving kindness. I think it's Romans chapter 2, if you'll turn there for a moment. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? It's His kindness that leads us to repentance. It's His mercy. It's His loving kindness that draws us to Him. You know, sometimes we think that we need to have a big stick to get people in line. God doesn't use a big stick. He uses mercy. And in His mercy, He draws us and He woos us to Him. Now, there will be coming a day when there might be a big stick. You know, there is coming a day. Coming a day. That day's not today. Even when Jesus walked on the earth, He said, I didn't come to bring judgment. I came to bring conviction, bring love, and bring peace, and bring the Word. And so we all want grace and mercy. And you know, the important thing is that it's out of grace and mercy that peace comes. Many, many people will buy and do anything they can for peace, so that everything around them can be settled, so that there's no disruption, so that there's no force around us that's blowing things up. You know what? That's not appropriate in our life, is it? It's not going to happen where there's always this tranquility. We live in a fallen, broken world. And disease happens, sickness happens, sin happens, fallenness happens. Some terrible disasters happen. Some good things happen. So where's peace then in the middle of that? Well, it's knowing Jesus. And knowing that He has never lost a battle. That it is possible for us to say to a mountain, be thou removed. You know? And even if it's not removed, give us the peace that walks through us to go with us in it. So it's His kindness, His loving kindness. And that's truth. That's drawing us to Himself. He wants to know you intimately. He wants to see you, and you want to know Him, believe it or not. If you don't know that yet, if you don't know Jesus, you want to know Him. You want to know Him now before you have to bow one day in the future before Him. I called Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords then, and be lost and then final and separated in the lake of fire forever away. Because we're all going to live eternally. We're all going to live eternally. It's just whether we know Jesus or not depends upon where our location will be. For we either have a destiny in heaven, we have a destiny in the lake of fire. You know, and the difference is what you've done with Jesus. And the truth of that will set you free. Amen? Amen. The truth of that will set you free. Ephesians 2:8, it's by grace that you've been saved. I said that once, but I want you to make sure you take a look at that. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. You know, it's not about boasting. It's not about what I've got and you don't. I have a sister in the Lord who I've known for many years, and one of her favorite things to say is, I wish I was smart. Wish I was smart as you. It's like, stop. You don't have to be smart. You just got to be wise. And how do you be wise? Know Jesus. Fear God. Know Him. You know, the word of the truth of the Scriptures is best known as a little child. And little children, well, you know, they're not always the smartest at that point. They're developing, right? Their brains are developing. They're growing in knowledge and what all that means. But if you just come simplicity to the Word, and let the Word speak to you through the Holy Spirit. You believe in the Holy Spirit, right? Amen. You believe in the Holy Ghost speaking, living in you, you know? And in that process, He will take the Word of truth here and make it applicable in your lives. And it's necessary. It's necessary that we grow in Him, that we grow in grace, and that our lives are changed by the truth. And that's... that's key. Key for you and for me this morning as we hear this word again from John about grace and truth. He talks about later on in the letter how untruth has crept in, tries to creep in. The enemy always tries He's the father of lies. He always tries to counter God's word. You can hear it today. Well, there's this and there's that. But really, did God say that it has to be one man and one woman? Really, did God say that? Yeah, he did. You know, but Satan will question that. You know, there's all sorts of questions Satan's thrown out into this world to try and make us doubt his word and the truth of his word. But you and I need to hang on to what the word is. We need to know the word. We need to understand the word and begin building foundation line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, you know? And so in the process of knowing that and living that, our lives are transformed and changed. He didn't save us just so we continue to live as we lived before we became a follower, before we confessed Christ. He called us to be changed. What is that? He met a man on the road. He lifted me up. He turned me around. He set my feet on solid ground. I met the Master. I met the Savior. I met God. Amen. And why did he turn you around? Because you're headed the wrong way. Because you're living the wrong life. Because you weren't doing the right stuff. And so when he turns you around, he wants us to begin to do the right stuff, to live according to his purposes, to know what it means to be holy and separated. When Jesus prayed in John 17, 17, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify means to set apart. You know, we sometimes get caught up in that being holiness where our hair styles a certain way and we don't have facial hair, men, and you know, wear long dresses and long sleeves and no rings. And I mean, we make it all externally. But it's not external. It's internal. It begins there. Peter, in his letter, first letter, says, let your adornment not be merely outward. He doesn't say don't have adornment. You know? He just says, don't let it be merely outward. Let it be the inward person. Let it be the inner man, the inner woman, the inner child. Because we've been lied to. We've lived lies. We've let Satan guide and direct us. And so when we come to Christ, we need to turn and begin to live according to his word and let his word richly dwell in us so that Christ in us, not only for our benefit, but that's where then this beacon of Christ in me becomes a beacon to the lost around me, so that the lost might see Christ only always. And so that one day when they stand before the Savior, they won't have a reason to say, well, I never knew. You know? They won't. Jesus might say, well, you know, there's Jared. You saw Jared. You know, you saw Lakin. You know, you saw Jan, even though I heard the word Steelers out of your mouth this morning, it made me doubt your salvation for a moment, but hey man, they're gonna pick a fight. I'm just kidding, I don't care, you know. They're not going to decide the kingdom. It's already been decided. Amen. It's already been decided. But when people look at you, when people see you, it's God's plan and purpose that they see Christ in you. Amen. And seeing Christ in you, they then become not just convicted, but they can see a way out. I mean, heaven forbid, if Jesus can do for me what he's done in me, he can do it for you. You know? He can do it for you. I mean, what was it, 2 years ago? You were baptized? Yeah. Yeah, I know. Amen? Amen? See Christ in you, Christ through you. How long has it been since you've been baptized, Jared? Became a follower of Christ? 23 years? You know? People can be attracted to you or they'll be repelled by Christ in you. Not everybody's going to be attracted to Christ in you. But in being unattracted, they're going to know why perhaps they haven't attracted to you. You know? And here's the other side of truth and living in truth, is we need to live in love. Too often the church in our truth has not lived in love. You know, and what were the two commandments? Jesus, I mean, John here talks about verse 5. Now I ask you, lady, not as though I were writing to you a new commandment, but the one which we have had from the beginning, that we would love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. And this is the commandment just as you heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. What is the commandment he's talking about? That you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul. And the second one's like the first. He said, you should love your neighbor as yourself. You know, it's easy to judge others, isn't it? It's easy to judge others. Not so easy to judge our own selves. You know, but that's not the way it's supposed to be, is it? We should be judging ourselves, not other people. Loving other people into the kingdom. Man, it's not easy. But it's not our job. Our job is just to love them and let Jesus take care of it. Let the Holy Spirit take care of it. But love people. Love them. But when you love them also, it's not easy sometimes, particularly in this culture, because when you begin to tell people how to live according to the Word of God, you're considered, well, this or that, or you're against the truth, or you're, you know, some kind of Nazi, or, you know, bigot, hater, you know. And the truth is, we love people. And I want the lost to see Jesus. I want them. I don't care. You know, I wasn't in a gutter when Jesus saved me, but it's not because I was far from it. My life was a wreck. But through Christ, he's been putting it back together now since August of 1978. He's been putting it back together. You know? And I don't judge people. People need saved. People need to change their lifestyle. People need to be different. Not because I want them to be different, but because his word, because my master, my savior, Jesus died so that they will be different, so that they can begin to align up with the word of truth, so that we can begin to see Christ only always living in us. And then we're able to love people even more. You know, I firmly believe that the fruit of the Spirit is love. Amen. Boom, stop right there. It's love. It's love that looks like peace. It's love that looks like joy. It's love that looks like patience. It's love that looks like faithfulness. It's love that looks like gentleness. If you don't believe me, maybe read 1 Corinthians 13 sometime and see Paul describing what love is. And so as you live in the Spirit of God and the Spirit of God lives in you, we live in truth, but we live in love. And too often the church has been accused, and rightfully so, of living in truth without living in love. You know, we need to love people to death. And I know Pastor is working on that. I know you're working on that. So I want to encourage you to continue working on that process of loving people to death. I'm sure it'd be easy to not do Porktober, you know. It'd be easy not to do that. It'd be easy to not be a sponsor of Vinton County football on Friday night, you know. It'd be easy to not do the stuff that you all do. But you do it because you want to love people to death. And you need Jesus. If you don't know that yet, you need Jesus. If you're here today and you do not know the truth, you do not know Jesus, you do not know the truth. You may know some truth, but it's only through knowing Jesus that you will know the truth. And it's only through him, knowing him, that you will be set free. So today I want to offer you Jesus. I want to offer you Jesus. If you're in this place and you haven't settled your eternal destiny yet, will you do that today? Will you come to know Him and trust Him so that when we sing the song, I met the Master, I met the Savior on that road, turned me around, set my feet on, gave me a new direction in my life? How many of you needed a new direction before you came to Christ? Amen? Amen. You needed that new direction. I needed it. I still need to be reminded. Still need to be reminded of the direction that I'm to walk and the places that I'm to go. So I would encourage you and counsel you. Don't let error, don't let the devil say, really, did God say in His Word? Well, of course He did. Right here it is. You know? You just go to the Word. And I think it's important for us to understand, it's one thing to live by the Spirit. It's another thing to live by the Spirit and the Word. For it takes both to confirm. The Spirit confirms the Word confirms the Spirit. Many a person has been lost, and the cause of Christ has been defeated because they've tested the Spirit without knowing the Word. Or they've tried the Word without knowing the Spirit. Before I became a pastor, I worked in a company in Wilmington, Ohio, Christico Incorporated. We made silicon wafers and the process of that. And one of the women who was in quality control that I had to work with, when I became a follower of Christ, and she knew it, she said, well, my husband's read the Bible from front to back many times, but he's not a believer. Well, you know, reading it doesn't make you a Christian. Now, hopefully it'll lead you to Christ, but it takes the Spirit of Christ and the Word of God to convict you so that you will know the truth. And knowing the truth, then you accept Christ and are set free. Amen? Amen. So, I offer you Jesus today. What do you have to do to be saved? Confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. That grave is unsealed. The stone rolled away. You know, just believe that. And let that sink deep into your life. Let then the word of truth of that become evident. Share it with others. Tell someone else that you now believe in Christ. That you've confessed Him as the Lord and Savior. Because if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you will be saved. Amen. Some of you know that word truth. Amen. Amen. And that's something you ought to remember. If you don't, memorize it and keep it. Hide that in your heart because you will be able to use that to others as you share Jesus with them. You know, because it's not the pastor's job only. It's not your youth leader's job only to share Jesus. And to tell others how they can find what they need to find, so that they will not spend eternity in the lake of fire, so that they will spend heaven with you. Amen? I mean, that's what we really want for our friends and enemies, right? We want them to spend heaven, eternally in heaven with us. And so, share Jesus. Tell them of Jesus and His love. And then lead them into the Word, and let the Word richly dwell in them. Now, if you've not been studying the Word, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you have a daily reading or study plan? You know, you don't have to raise your hand. It's okay because I don't want to embarrass others who do not yet, who have not seen the importance of it. But it's important. It's important. Ralph, when was the last time you ate?
I've had something in my mouth first.
What's that, Jared? Right, his foot doesn't count. Thank you, Jared. That's right. When did you eat last? You know, and what did you eat yesterday? What did you eat the day before that? We got to feed our bodies, right? Nourish them? I know I feed mine too much. But we need to feed our bodies. We need to feed the Spirit of Christ in us. We need to feed our soul, our mind, will, and emotions. We need to feed them, the right truth. Not the pabulum of the world, not the deceitful things of the enemy, but the word of truth. And so I challenge you. There are plans. You can find them digitally. YouVersion's a good one. Many plans are there. There's all sorts of Bible apps that have Bible reading plans. And I would challenge you, don't be malnourished in your spirit. Don't be a Biafran refugee where they're skin and bones in your inner man. You know, be strong in the might and the strength of His Holy Spirit. How do you do that? The Word. Listening to the Holy Spirit as the Word lives richly in you. And Greg, you know this. As you do that, as you live in the Word and the Word lives in you, it also enriches your prayer life. Because you know what His will is. You know what to ask because you know what His will is. And when you ask that according to His will, you're going to ask almost 100%, you know? And I don't know any sports analogies where they bat 100, where we return all of the kills, 100% digs, you know, and 100% kills, and no batting average is much over 300, which means one out of every three, you know? But when you know the will of God, when you know what His Word says, your prayer life will be greatly enriched and enhanced because you'll begin to ask according to His purposes and not ask amiss. You know, one of the things that I do before I pray for people is always, Lord, what is Your plan for them? What is Your purpose? What do You want to do in this? What do You want to see happen? You know, who better knows what the purpose of God is concerning things in our lives than Him? You know, so ask Him. Ask Him. You know, so if you've not begun studying and reading the Word, confess that to Him right now and ask Him to help you set a plan, to help you set a time to read the Word and begin to study it just a little bit. You know, it wasn't centuries ago that people studying the Word also would know Greek and Hebrew. They would learn it in the original languages so that they could study. I mean, they were devout students. Whew. Now, I know enough Greek and Hebrew to be dangerous. Can't speak it, but I, you know. Anyway, so, but to be a student of the Word, His truth, it's His truth. How do you know the truth? Well, you know Jesus, and you know it then in the Word. And if you don't give your time to knowing what the Word says, we're undernourishing. Is that a word? Is that a concept? Undernourishing our relationship in Christ and who we are then. And so grace, mercy, and peace to you, but they come to you in truth and love. And I love you enough to tell you the truth. And I know your pastor does. What is that one grit that kind of like it's on here? There's 200, 2,000 grit, 200 grit, and one grit. There's one reason he's a grit. It's because he loves you. You know, and he wants you to know the truth. And wants you to live the truth. So that not only will you be fit for heaven, but so those around you, you'll be able to share Jesus with them. Because this lost and dying world, you've got friends, people that you associate with, that you run with, that you know. They need Jesus. And if you're not nurtured in Him, strong in Him, you'll be afraid to witness. You'll be afraid to share. Don't be afraid to share. Know the truth. Know the Word of truth. Amen? Amen. So today, if you do not know Jesus, you know church, You know singing, you know standing, you know sitting, you know listening, but if you don't know Jesus, you need to know Jesus. Trust in Him. If you've not reached that conclusion, or if you have reached that conclusion at some point in your life and have allowed that to become a back seat or a third seat, one of those old station wagons that had that third seat where it was reversed and people going that way and you're looking behind you. You know, sometimes that describes us, doesn't it? Where we're sitting in the back seat looking backward instead of looking forward and going straight ahead. Now, some of you are way too young to know what I'm talking about, but many of you understand that old station wagon where the third seat was facing the back door. Don't be facing the back door. You know, if you have been, ask God to forgive you. Ask Him to turn you around again. Place your feet back on that solid ground and face Jesus. And then, you know what, decisions are made best when you share them with others. They're best made when you share them with others. When you tell others that I've made a decision. I made a decision to follow Jesus. You know, I was in the back seat, turned the other way. I need to turn around. You know, I need to confess Christ. Today, Jared, would you come and lead us in a song? While he's singing, I'm going to be here. If you want to know Jesus and you haven't known Him yet, I would invite you to come to know Him. Know Him today. Do not turn Him away. If you know Him and have been facing the wrong way, you need to turn and face the right way. Come and we'll pray with you. No judgment. Amen. No judgment, only love. Will you stand as...
Thank you for joining us. Please like our podcast and leave us a 5-star review. God bless and have an amazing week.